This is Lucy Pohl, Mercy from Overwatch, and I have my ear on Game Fix. They heal my soul.
They pretty much just took a game from our childhood and added mechanics from the games of our adulthood.
Capcom developed their own RE engine, so now their games don't need Unreal unless they want it on there.
All right, partner. You know what time it is.
Let's go, Payday! Payday!
Hello, welcome to another edition of the Game Fix Podcast. I am Spanish.
I am Mike.
And I am Verlaine. Make sure to check out our website, gamefixshow.com, and our weekly stream of our weekly recorded podcast right here. If you're not, facebook.com/gamefixshow and twitch.tv/gamefix.
That's right. There's a couple places you guys can find us if you haven't already done so. Our website, as Verlaine said, gamefixshow.com pretty much has everything you need to, interact with us. Let us know how you're doing and listening to the podcast. Not only that, but, you know, our own Colonel Fancy Mike and Gina as well, they post articles. So you guys need to check out the website. Some good stuff always there, especially some stuff that we're going to talk about. If you're watching the live show, you saw the video before. We played the trailer for Street Fighter VI. And we will get into that because this past week was the Sony's State of Play. There was some stuff. I don't want to say good or bad. I'm just going to call it stuff. And it I think that's about as fair as I can get. Also, we have a few other things to talk about. Apparently, there's some kind of game that looks like Pokemon that's not Pokemon that has guns.
Hell yeah.
It's a blatant ripoff of Call of Duty. No, just kidding.
It blatantly sounds dumb as fuck.
I know, right? But we're going to get into that. I made a prediction at the beginning of the year. So 6 months ago, I made a prediction, and it has come true, and we will get into that as well. It's true. I'm a psychic. Did you guys know that?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I didn't.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't.
Yeah, well, now you know. Now you know.
Feeling, so,
also, I just wanted a big shout-out to anybody that we met pretty much this past weekend. Me and Mike were at Three Rivers Comic-Con, in Pittsburgh, and it was fun. Oh, my God, we met so many people. Hopefully, there's a couple people here. I'd like for them to say, hello, I was blah, 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 or whatever, you know. So a lot of people stopped by the booth. A lot of people were supporting the podcast, and we do appreciate that. So, okay, now that I have that out of the way, we got to get into what we've been gaming this past week. So why don't we have Mike start us out today. Mike, what have you been playing this past week?
I popped in Crysis 2.
Look at this guy.
just on a random. It's one of those, it was one of my Twitter chat groups, forgotten first person shooters came up. And there's a couple
it's
of
about
them
right.
Like Singularity, which I think is a grossly underrated game. And the other one was Crysis, because it feels like once every couple of years, there's always that crowd that asks for a new Crysis game. But how good is it really? Because I played the first two games, and at the time that they came out, I felt like they were relatively dated first person shooter. Like, if you liked a single-player style first-person shooter, they were okay, but because there wasn't much else to it, there really isn't much reason to play it. And one of the things that it had hyped itself on was having, a complex and immersive AI that would adapt to your playing strategy. And for a little while, they do. Like, if you try turtling on, a high outpost and you try to snipe, they'll begin to, flank you. And they'll reposition themselves and they'll start chucking grenades at you. And it's a little daunting at first, but because you're in this exosuit that you can level up, the second you start getting certain tiers of power, once you have the power to go invincible or to deliver critical physical blows, you don't die. You don't die anymore. at least until some of the later more alien based bosses start attacking you.
Cool.
So I had initially played this game at around the time that I was playing like Aliens Colonial Marines, a game that I probably like more than I realistically should.
I'm sure Verlaine would agree with you on that.
It's freaking fun. A side-by-side comparison, I just feel that Colonial Marines is a little more satisfying. I think I enjoyed the gunplay more. Crisis feels a little bit too tied to the powers of the suit to feel like unique. So, after a handful of like power-ups, you're just practically invincible. And I'm like about halfway through the game now. I've been playing it on the 360.
Okay. So, what else? Anything else?
I also played a little bit of the very first Devil May Cry because I needed some footage for a project I'm working on.
And what better game to get footage than Devil May Cry 1?
Exactly. This revolutionary 3D action game. Okay, like it was pivotal at its time.
Sure.
It's aged terribly. At this point now, because it's like one of those old Capcom games that still use like fixed camera points. So when you're fighting and you walk in a certain direction, the camera angle changes, and now you lose track of the action, and you'll either drop your combos or you'll get knocked on your ass by an enemy that you can no longer see. So that was something that they eventually fixed. I started playing that game when I was talking about like some of the differences in like 3D action games per the era, because there are like a couple of games. Like have you ever played Oni?
Yes.
Absolutely. It was like Bungie's first video game, and it's like one of the hardest games ever.
Didn't they make a new one, right? They kind of rebooted it, right?
I think that they
maybe I'm thinking of another game.
I think they refurbished it for a PC release.
Oh, okay, maybe that was it.
But yeah, there was never a real direct follow up to that. So I like wanted to compare Oni and Devil May Cry as these like transitional 3D action games, and I think Oni holds up way better than original DMC. That and like I've talked about it before, I hate the Dante character so much, and it's like. I know what they were going for. They're going for this cool, cocky, suave character, but he's so freaking annoying. Like, everything's a one-liner and a catchphrase. He's like he's like the worst Ninja Turtle ever made that was never allowed to be on the team.
Are you calling Ninja Turtles bad? Wait a minute.
I'm calling Dante bad.
Oh, okay. All
right. because he's very Ninja Turtle, especially by the third game, where he's just a pizza chomping, one liner quipping like
Cowabunga,
like Spider Man.
Yeah. It's like he's just bad. The first Devil May Cry doesn't really hold up good, but it's still better than Devil May Cry 2, which was mostly just shooting guns.
Yeah, Ebony and Ivory, you know, they made a couple appearances.
Yeah.
All right, real quick, what is your, this week, your retro reboot, which you do every week, you review a retro game. What is it, Mike?
This week, because the Stanley Cup playoffs are getting close to wrapping up, we're in, like, the conference finals, I decided that I'm going to review Blades of Steel.
Nice.
Yeah. Like a game.
Make sure you bet. Okay. I have a request for the, yeah, totally. All the crowd whistling. I have a request, Mike. Are you ready for this? Are you ready for my request? Okay. So at halftime, well, what is it? One of the halves. I can't remember which half it is. Yeah. At one of the intermissions, right? There's that little video game where you're the plane and you're shooting other ships or whatever. You gotta highlight that for sure.
Oh yes, most definitely.
Because that was something that I've never experienced before, pretty much in any video game. Blades of Steel was my
game. I learned
game.
In Japan that was just like Gradius. It was just like an advertisement for Gradius.
Yeah.
One of the other ones was like practically an ad for Contra. I kind of missed it when
Konami Jimmy, thanks for joining us. We do appreciate it. Chris said that he's decided to finish Gears of War 3 this month. Lots of grinding. I guess that would be the That's Gears of War, right? It's a lot of ground.
Right.
All right, cool. So I'll go next. Is that okay, Verlaine?
Okay with it?
By the way, check out his Retro Reboot on our website, gamefixshow.com, Tuesdays, so tomorrow, about noon, 1 o'clock is when he puts it out. So Go check that out. So, okay, mine isn't too exciting. It's fine. I got to a few games. I know, Verlaine, you actually told me that I should download it, and I did. I downloaded Pac-Man Museum, and I was playing Pac-Man, but I got to say, it kind of sucks. And the reason why I say that is because it sucks playing it with the controller. Like, it absolutely is the worst. Sometimes it won't turn. Sometimes, oh my God, dude, it is so bad. And I don't know. I think I'm just going to have to delete it because it is just not fun. I need a joystick, man.
Yeah, see, I got used to playing Pac-Man because I would play emulation. So I had to play on, you know, WASD keys. And anything that they would come out, Super Nintendo and stuff. So then what you pretty much are doing with Pac-Man, I mean, even in the arcade, is you're just pushing the direction before you get there. That's it. Because the next direction you push, it's going to go that way. So that's what I just got used to doing it that way.
Okay.
But I totally know what you mean, because I tried pushing it with the stick, and it's like you have to be dead on straight or you're not going to do it right.
Yeah.
So if you're trying to turn live, you're not going to do it. You have to preemptively turn. Hey, at least you tried it. I really just want to try the Battle Royale with more than one other person, like with three people or more, like, and people that know how to play Pac-Man.
Yes.
You know, that would be able to, like, a competition.
I mean, I'm in. I would definitely play that. That's actually pretty fun. I've played it, like, in, like, arcades.
Dave and Buster's.
Yeah, right. And it's pretty fun. So, yeah, Tom, totally in if you want to do that. Yeah. Other than that, played some Overwatch with you fools. And you know, that's always good. Remember? That's your Jimmy. Yes, of course. Jimmy probably talked to us, for, I don't know, 4 hours of that show, which we do appreciate, by the way. Yeah, dude, he was a good dude, but yeah, he actually, okay. So, reminder, M. Bison, you want to kind of fill him in what that means, Mike, because this is interesting. This is something I didn't know. And I would love to hear if Verlaine knew if he ever heard of this.
Is it the name switch?
The name switch. Yeah. Oh, you do know. See, I didn't know that. Go ahead, Mike, explain it.
Yeah, so when the Street Fighter 2 in Japan, Bison is named Vega, Balrog.
At one point, like at first, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
All the time.
And Balrog, who was Mike Bison, was then name changed to Balrog. Balrog was originally Vega's name. For like legal reasons and to not get sued, Capcom of America changed the names around.
Well, pretty much what it was, they were afraid of Mike Tyson, that he was going to like sue them for that because M. Bison, M. Tyson kind of sounds right.
Look like him too.
Right, but then
space in his
right. And that, but then later, apparently, Tyson was like kind of cool with it. He was like, "Oh, that's awesome." So they were like, "Ah, damn it."
I heard that you guys are using my likenesses.
Yeah. Put me on a pedestal. All right. It is. That was some info I really enjoyed. So thank you for sharing that, Jimmy, and everything else you did. So, and thanks for joining us. We do appreciate it. Hopefully you join us every week. We do. Other than that.
Poison topic comes up.
He bought some Sonics from us. No, he was a good dude for sure. So thank you for supporting the show. We do appreciate it. So, the other thing I played is, another game on Game Pass called Dodgeball Academia. It has like kind of a Windjammers feel, but it's dodgeball.
Really?
Yeah, it's not bad. Okay. It's okay. Like,
I like dodgeball.
Yeah, I think you might like it. There's like a, I don't know. It's very Japanese when it comes to like a lot of, you know, intro.
That's probably why.
But then once you get past that, it's all game. So so you should do that and get past it. But it's actually pretty fun. I'm actually interested to play it like multiplayer. I think it'll be fun.
Okay,
cool. Dodgeball Academia. You guys should check that out. All right, Verlaine, what have you been playing? And if you're in the chat room, let us know what you've been playing. We really want to know.
I started playing Marvel vs. Capcom 2 on Dreamcast. I used to play the game all the time. Like, I just beat the shit out of that game. But I'm playing it, and it just seems different to me. Like, I mean, like, as I'm seeing the characters, I'm remembering the characters. It's so weird. Like, I don't know, but maybe it's the version that I'm playing, because I also thought that there were a lot more characters in the game than what I have right now. That's fine.
Well, I hope so.
I mean, it's just hard because I haven't played Marvel Capcom 2 in a long time. Like, Marvel Capcom 3 for a while, then I tried Infinity. But then when it comes to 2, like, I just don't, like, it all blends in, 1, 2, and then all the Street Fighter games. So some of the things I was trying to do didn't exist. Was that the first one where they did medium, they just did light and hard?
Yeah.
Okay, because I was like, wait, is this always been this way, or is the Saturn, like, just, like, dumbing it down?
I guess technically the first one, because the, like, third one, which would be the punch button, would become your assist? It was always the two.
Yeah.
I don't know.
So I played that. I played some Evil Dead. I believe it was this week. We played with Brett.
Sweet, our Patreon. Nice.
Yeah, and we
shout out to Brett.
We learned some stuff, some obvious stuff. Like, we're like, oh dude, me and Jack were playing with him. We didn't know, like, how to find the pages or where to go. And then he's like, dude, just look at the top right corner, and it would just say, like, find pages near the fisherman's whatever, and you find it on the map and go there. We didn't know that.
To be fair, whenever I play with you and Jack, you guys do not look at any other part of the screen but a very small circle. So yes, that comes to no surprise to me.
No, see, that's not true, because I always look at the mini. I'm always sure looking you at did, the mini Jack. Map. But these the instructions. What happens is, when you start, they're not there. So it takes a little bit, and then all of a sudden they appear in the corner. And once somebody, like, would find the pages, they go away. So we start the game seeing nothing. Walk, walk, walk. Someone found the pages. We look back at our screen and nothing. We look at the map, nothing. Like, what the fuck are we missing? And that it was that little thing. But he didn't know that you can resurrect people, because a game tells you nothing. So he was like, oh, I'm dead. And then, what are you doing? What are these pillars for? And then he was alive.
Gotcha.
So it was fun. It was cool. I personally did better than I usually would have done, you know, with him around. So that was cool. And then I started playing Sniper Elite 5.
I did play before you did, actually. Me and Jack played, and it was okay. You got a pretty good glitch out of it. I did see that. That was pretty good.
So the game, like, I mean, it to me, it's... All right, it's like almost every Sniper Elite.
I'm aware, like, Jack, that you never look at minimaps.
There's something about Sniper Elite that I like, because it's got that whole... It's almost like Hitman. Like, you have an objective, and how you achieve that objective is up to you. And there's multiple ways. So, like, things would fuck up. Like, we would kill a guy, we would watch what we're doing, but then, like, one time I'm running to cover and I get caught by a car that we didn't even know was coming by. Then the alarms are sounding, guys are after us, and at that point, most games, I'm like, I just want to reset the level because I fucked up.
Right.
But it's not how this game works, and it's almost like they expect you to get caught at some point during this. Like, it's very hard to do nonstop stealth, like, very hard.
Yeah.
So that's kind of cool, because then once everybody's dead, it still becomes – it's such a big area and a big mission that, like, you still have a good chunk of the mission that you're not going to be detected. So it's like it was hard getting used to that. Like, not, okay, well, we fucked up, I'm just going to go guns blazing. But you just – I like the fact that, like, using the bottles to distract people, like, the stealth that is involved, especially when you're using two people, because then you can start doing the whole, like, when we would be like, you know, you take the right guy, I take the left, 3, 2, 1, go. That type of shit in this game is sweet.
That has the same feel, and it's something, and actually something I talked to Jack about when we played it, is Army of Two, which is also on Game Pass, but you can only play it with somebody else on couch at co-op. Yeah. So, which totally sucks, because I would totally play that, but, you know, whatever.
Well, I'm enjoying it. I think it's cool. Like, I don't expect to beat it. I don't even know what the real mission is, just kill Nazis. But it's just one of those games that, like, we can reboot, we can restart it, be in the same level that we were just in, and I don't give a shit, because we can go, instead of going right, just go left. There, the whole game's different for us. Like, fucking literally. So, I mean, it's cool. It's cool. I dig it. Okay. Other than that, a little bit of Overwatch with you, of course. I did check out some Overwatch gameplay from the Overwatch League. It's fucking Overwatch. And, dude, these dudes, like, I had to, like, skim through. I'm like, wait, am I missing something? Because both teams were the same.
Yeah.
Two healers. It was Ana and Lucio. Tank, Reinhardt. And then they had Soldier and Tracer. Both teams exact. I'm like, wait a minute, what's going on? Skipping ahead to another two teams, same characters. I'm like, are they just limited and not like show? And then I went ahead and there was somebody was the robot chick. What's her name? Whatever her name is, Echo. Is
that
her name?
The new one
was Echo, but then the rest of the team was the same meta. And it's so weird, dude. They're not even using Mercy. It's like Lucio. It's just... Yeah. How boring of a fucking game to watch where both teams
always the same.
Much mimic each other, because that's like watching, like, when you play against somebody in a fighting game and they wait for you and they pick the exact counter. Like,
oh, who does that? Who does that, Verlaine?
No, you always think I do.
No, because you do.
But there's no way, because you look, do. There's no way.
No, I do, you do. You do always, it. You do it in Mortal Kombat. Always, you've done it in. You've done it on every fighting game we've ever played, and you need to admit that.
I will never, dude. I always want a competition, and that's, dude. How many times I play you, and you're always like, "Stop letting me win. Stop letting me win." Why would I then pick a counter if all I'm doing is winning? It doesn't make sense.
I can tell when you're letting me win.
Plus, I'm not autistic enough to know who the counters even are.
Well, that's insensitive, but okay.
It's not. You have to like be numbers. You have to know the numbers to know exactly who to fucking pick that would counter. Right. But anyways, that's what, like, watching a game like that is like watching, it's just, there's nothing exciting because everything is the same. That's what I got. So what I also pulled from it was like, outside of the gameplay, like the one match, like there's no real reason right now to even get the fucking game.
Yeah.
Everyone's the same.
Well, it's okay, because the Overwatch and Call of Duty League teams are reportedly, they owe Activision Blizzard roughly $400 million in franchise payments, which tells me that that's probably close to the end of this. Yeah. So
Overwatch League is going to bleed out like a small dying.
It's already in the middle of it. Yeah.
They just won't take I think Microsoft will save it. They're just not going to take the money. If anything, they won't let them play anymore. If they owe the money, they weren't taking the money because of COVID. Like a lot of people, like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But now they're like, hey, it's time to pay up, and they can't. All right. Yeah. Well then, guys, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, it might hurt the league a little bit, but they can just find other teams, I'm sure. Microsoft's there. They're not, you know what I'm saying? Like, and even if they do, whatever.
Whatever. I agree.
Whatever. Get some new games to play again.
I agree.
I guess you can, like, end up like drafting new players and just forming new teams and probably starting anew once Activision, Microsoft, and Blizzard has ironed all of this out.
Yeah. So,
I think they need less nerds playing, more like kind of casual guys that like think differently, like me. Like if I see a team of the same, I'd be like, fuck it, dude, I'm doing Mercy. I don't give a fuck. Like, what am I going to do this for?
Do you believe that you think unlike any other? Is that what you believe?
No. Well, if I'm thinking that I would not pick those teams, then I have to.
That's fair.
If there's no way, you know what I'm saying? There's no way I'd be like, let my team do that, even if everyone's doing it and they're pros. I mean, yeah, you're pros, but you're on TV, you're going up against another team, like
Twitch, it's not really TV.
So, like, you know, like, fucking show me a bunch of these 15-year-olds go against a bunch of fucking like grown-up players, and then let's see who the pros are, you know what I'm saying? Like the Twitch streamers that stream Overwatch that aren't on the league.
Yeah,
put those dudes against the league players.
I'd like to see that.
But see what happens.
But that's almost like saying that, like, you know, the worst NFL team will lose against the best college team. That is the biggest bullshit.
Yeah, I don't think that's true. But I think, but if you did a game like that, like a pro team, a pro NFL and a pro college, minus the whole weight difference, you're going to get different types of plays. You're going to – that – college mentality is different than the pro mentality.
Well, the difference between that is I don't know why we're getting into it, but the difference with that is the NFL is all pros, and in college there's like maybe three or four. You know what I mean? Like, that's it. So that's why it would never work. It would never work, but whatever. I love the people that think that, but okay, whatever. Let's get off the NFL and let's talk about the NFL. Yay! I got something for you guys. It's not really. It's actually video game related, so don't worry. I made a prediction. I did back in January. It was actually our first show of the year. I have audio of it. Here it is. I will play it back right now.
I do have a prediction. The prediction is that on the next Madden cover, you will have John Madden on it, right?
Yeah.
You would have to. I would, and he hasn't been on the cover since, like, oh my God, 2004,
like Nintendo 64,
something like that. Yeah, so even more. Yeah. So yeah, so I think this is the good time to do it. I think this is the right time. Obviously, I mean, he passed away. What better time to do it? So that's my prediction for the year 2022.
How about that, huh? I called that. It only took his death for me to predict it. But, I mean, I at the same time, it was pretty obvious. I think most people thought that was going to happen, but it's true. It's true. Even though it's the picture, they took the picture from the original John Madden game and put it on the new one, and they put, like, I don't know, like,
yeah, they like, jazzed it up a little bit.
And put a, thanks, coach.
It looks a touch awkward because I thought it was like John Candy when you posted.
Oh, dude, you yeah, absolutely. That's what I thought too.
Like, John Candy. Why is John Candy on Madden?
And why does he have a Super Bowl ring on? Yeah. So yeah. So there you go. My prediction came true. Only 6 months later. How about that?
Yeah, it's like for the best, and now the game's gonna sell like gangbusters because of
oh yeah, oh 100%
in honor of John.
Could you imagine if they put like Brady on it again? We'd be like, all right, okay,
right.
Cool. Like, yeah, you gotta put Madden on it. That's fine. All right, let's. Enough about me. Let's talk about Sony. The State of Play just happened this past week, and if you guys watched the video before we started, if you guys are watching it live, we played the Street Fighter 6 video. That was talked about. Obviously, they actually gave us a trailer. We saw what it looked like. It looks like every other Street Fighter game.
I love it.
Of course you do. Of course you do, Mike. What do you love about it, Mike?
A couple things.
Oh, here we go. Number one,
they've dropped Unreal for it, and they're using RE Engine for it. One of the biggest issues with like the netcode with Street Fighter V was the fact that they were using Unreal 4 with it, which was also led to some of the latency issues towards the end of Street Fighter IV's life. So Street Fighter V already had some pretty bad netcode because the game was already rushed because they went back to Demps developing it again. So with 6, I like that. Because it was speculated whether or not they'd use RE Engine for 6 or if they would just go back to like, or if they'll just use Unreal 5. And now that they're using RE Engine for this, I think it really is going to show what the engine's capable of and if it can run fighting games. And the first thought that crossed my mind when I saw this in action, it looked a little bit like 2012 Killer Instinct. And I love that look. So Street Fighter's kind of ditching, at least for the time being, it's ditching that sort of like overly cartoony and bright, vibrant look. And it's kind of looking something a little closer to Mortal Kombat. Mortal Kombat 11 beat the shit out of Street Fighter V in its lifespan. So going for like this look, and also I don't know if I'd ever talked about this on the show, but like after the last Capcom Cup and they first revealed Street Fighter VI, everybody bitched about the logo. It's like, oh my god, they found that art program for a logo for Street Fighter VI. How generic is it? Well, now the logo isn't even the issue, and that's the same thing that happens with like every other fighting game that comes out. Of course they're going to go with sort of like a generic logo to sort of like litmus test the audience's feedback in it. And with Street Fighter VI's new generation, which kind of looks to be a more grounded, urban, metro city-based, like underground fighting rink thing, I think it fits well with this. The other thing is the roster. So they leaked a good deal of the roster out, which I think, as far as these leaks, I mean, we've talked about it before. I think these leaks are happening on purpose. I think many of these.
So they're not leaks. What you're saying, they're not leaks.
Right. Okay, I think that people on the inside are like trickling this out because they love working with the content creators now. So this generates buzz and it gives people something to talk about when by the time this game drops next year. So I think it's just a slow trickle to kind of get a good feed on how people are going to read into this, as opposed to like Street Fighter V's disastrous launch, where they pretty much told people, hey, take this, accept it, and you're going to like it. I believe that one of the slogans from the developers, and I'm not going to like blame this on him because you work for the company, so you can't say that your rollout sucks. But what one of the taglines that had hurt the game was, haters will be left behind with this iteration of the game, because it launched without an arcade mode. It had just like a bare bones survival.
I remember that shit.
Yeah.
And that launch was the absolute shits. Because it was funded by Sony wanted to make Street Fighter V more tournament based. So, we don't care about like the casual player. Well, newsflash, when it comes to like fighting game sales, casual people buy them for the single player content. Street Fighter VI looks like it's going to be adding like a single player world tour mode, which kind of put me in the mind of like it would be like if you put Shoryukens and Dragon and Hadoukens in Sleeping Dogs. That was kind of what I got from like the little bit of the single player content.
Which now that you say that, I want that in Sleeping Dogs.
I don't think it's gonna work that way.
No,
I'm still down with this. Like that, I was interested. What I first thought about was how Bandai is it that does the fucking Dragon Ball games and shit, all the jump games.
Yeah,
yeah.
It reminded me of that because every game tries to make that happen. That's like your hub, and that's what screws me all the time. Like, I don't need this when I want to just jump into a fucking game. I shouldn't have to deal with that if I just want to do a 1v1 match. However, this one, I kind of dug it because, yeah, part of it was like it looked a little Sleeping Dogs, but you notice you didn't see any action. You were just seeing like the running and shit. I think what happens is once you meet up with someone to fight, whether, which would be cool, it was a real person roaming around the street or an AI, it then camera view switches and it becomes
so kind of street, so kind of like Mortal Kombat, you know. Yeah. They did it. Okay
Yeah, and yeah, exactly, like how the cinematic would go into the 2D. Well, your open world would go into that kind of thing. You'd fight the guy and then it'd break off back into the open world. Over the shoulder thing. I want to play this game. I did notice the differences. I didn't know anything about the engines. I still think they gotta, I mean, I don't know if that animation is, if it is in the game when you play it. It looks a little flashy, but it also looks played out. The whole ink spilly kind of thing.
I know. I was going to ask about that. Yeah. What is that?
Yeah. It'll be like the third game that they've used it.
Yeah. I mean, look, make it blood if you're going to do something like that, but like fucking ink or whatever. That is. So,
well,
like
I think
and graffiti.
I think Mortal Kombat has the blood thing cornered for now, right? I mean,
yeah. So the leak that's out, like I heard that now, like it's the entire fucking roadmap. They have admitted that it's true, just like Boone admitted that the Mortal Kombat one is true. The only thing I have to disagree about is that it being purposely done, because this isn't one or two, like it's not like the first three characters coming out or the first game pack. This is everything. And with Mortal Kombat, it dulled a lot of it, because once people started, first of all, it's like, oh, whatever, it's a leak, fuck it, you know? But once they admitted it, and then you start seeing every character, not only some of the characters, every single character on that major leak was in the game as a special character. It took it away, because then you're just like, when is this going to happen? We didn't know about Aftermath, which was kind of sweet. I didn't know about it, but I didn't read into the leak. But when you know about all that stuff, it's just like, okay, when are they going to do this? Oh, well, it hasn't come out yet. We know it's gonna, like, so it's gonna, like, Spawn and shit like that. Like, so I don't think it was purposely done. I think that, like, it's fucked up that, you know, people, I don't know what you get out of ruining the game for the people that you work for, and you're not even getting credit for some, so, like, to show another company. You're just doing this maliciously. It's stupid. You know, so it would make you think that they're doing it on purpose, but, like, there's no, we know Capcom, there's nothing in their back pocket. And when half the roster is new characters, you know goddamn well they don't have more new characters because it took them 20 years to figure out make new characters.
Yeah.
You know, so I don't, I think that this won't hurt anything as long as it's not an exclusive release.
You know what? You know, the bad taste that I had in my mouth from the last one was when they introduced, you know, a new DLC character is coming out and it's Blanca. You know, that type of shit.
I'd feel ripped off.
Yeah, that makes me feel like, are you fucking kidding me? Because, like, Mortal Kombat did it right. If there was a character that's obviously been in an older game, they release it in a pack of, like, a new character, maybe two new characters with, like, three old characters. I'm cool with that. That makes complete sense. But when you give me one character that I've been playing with since I was a child, and sell it like he's a new character, like, for me, that's when I'm like, I'm out, I can't do it. And like I said, when it comes to that, that's what really put a bad taste in my mouth. I don't know.
That's why I think with like the base roster that they have like the eight original World Warriors from the first Street Fighter 2, and then, like, a bunch of new characters. So the speculation now is that for, like, season packs, they might do characters from Alpha. They might do characters from Street Fighter 3, and then like, some Street Fighter 4 exclusive characters.
So are they going to actually do packs then? Or is it just going to be one at a time? Because if they do one at a time, that's what... like, come on, give me something that's more tangible. Something that, like, I'll pay $15 for, like, three characters instead of $10 for one. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, they always do, like, season passes. But the season passes are never, like, multiple characters at once. It would be, like, Cody would drop, and then, like, 2 months later, you'll get... like, Mike Hagar or something. Like you, and they'll, like, do that. Like King of Fighters, they'll like sell you whole teams. Like just recently, they gave you like villain team Southtown, and they gave you Billy Kane, Geese Howard, and Yamazaki all as one. So like this roster there, they might do that this time around. Just because like you said, like Five dropped with like Guile and Balrog and Jury, characters who've been in previous games, in like season passes. We've played Guile for 30 years.
Absolutely.
So it's not really going to be refreshing. And also, blending a lot of new characters onto the base roster means that you won't have to like surprise people with. Because the FGC has this thing with, like, if you just drop brand new characters all the time, it's not really enough to wet someone's whistle. So if you want to blend in some returning characters with the new and it feels even, it works.
You have to bring characters that have been out. Like, Guile's return in Street Fighter 4? Is that when he came back? Not Alpha? Either way, even if it was Alpha, Guile's return was pivotal because people were like, what happened to him? He was like just gone. And then he came back. Or Charlie too. Just gone. Yeah. Like if you bring back Charlie, like it's going to be a big deal.
Right.
But you bring back somebody. Yeah. Like no matter what they do, I don't think they're going to. I don't think they're going to introduce Alpha characters. Like why would they? They would have already. Alpha had the best storylines going. Most of Alpha characters are already in it anyways. But, like, yeah, like, they, by now you would have thought they would have been smart enough to do shit like that. I don't think it's going to happen now. I don't think they're going to be smart enough to make packs because you still have, like, Tekken doing the whole season pass, so it's going to drop a character at a time. But with fighting games, dude, you have to understand that, like, new characters, at least back in the day, when, like, Street Fighter 3 came out, and it was a lot of new characters in that game, it was iffy. For people like me, I was an avid arcade goer. I played the games all the time. And for me, Street Fighter 3 amounted to me playing Ken and Ryu, Sean, because he was like the new Ken and Ryu. And maybe that might have been it.
in the arcade. Everybody else, like, even though they were new characters, like, something didn't feel official about them. And I don't know what it was. It was too many new characters. But then if you have too many old characters, it's still kind of janky. But what's going to happen now, because then you need to have that right blend, which I think the three pack does right, because you can throw in an old character, introduce a new character, yes, and put like some pop culture.
Absolutely. Yeah.
But what's going to happen now is when you have a game that has all eight Street Fighter guys, and then you're going to have eight brand new guys, it's not Street Fighter. It's Street Fighter versus this new group of guys.
Right.
So you're going to have the same fucking thing. Like, it's like people are going to start out with the fucking main guys because they know them and shit, and they're going to trickle the new guys. So by the end, everybody's going to play the new guys maybe. But I think that, like, I don't know. I think that the fact that they don't do things like simple little fucking crossovers, I think that's going to fuck them. I think it fucks, they're like Disney, and they just want either their shit or nothing. So it's like, we can't come up with a good idea. Throw in fucking Chun-Li. Throw in Dark Chun-Li. You know what I'm saying? Like, they won't even throw in like
Mega Man,
like another one of their fucking characters that we've even seen in the Street Fighter world.
Yeah.
They won't put in this game. Instead, they're going to give us someone else. Yeah. You know, like someone else that we've already played, or they give us a new character. And again, like when you're giving one new character to the entire fucking community, for a little bit, the game sucks because everybody's going to want to be him. Everybody's going to be him.
Yeah.
The guy might suck in general. Like, it's just, I don't know, man.
Yeah. But especially if, like, if the new character is either, like, overpowered, the community hates it. Like, when Seth debuted, when they first re-released Seth, completely overpowered, everybody online played him. Everybody in the Capcom Pro Tour played him. When they dropped Luke at the end of November, character was overpowered as fuck. Beat everyone, and everyone hate him. And now he's like the face of Street Fighter 6.
So, it's so weird that like a person that would go into a tournament would pick a dude who he knows is just not balanced just to win. Like, what do you think about those kind of people? Like, why would they just, that's morally like you're a dick. If you're like, I'm just going to pick the fucking dude who no one can beat and that can do this move that they never fixed.
Yeah. That's like, it's like there's like this Sanford Kelly clip of just pick a top tier, just pick the best character and you win. It's like, it was like when Wrecking Ball first debuted in Overwatch, and I would log into a match and it would just be Wrecking Ball,
like all the time. Yeah. There's a lot that we're gonna have to wait for, obviously. And by the way, Jimmy, we'll get to your question here in a second, but we got to keep our eyes on the prize at this point. Let's keep going on the Sony State of Play. Obviously, you know, Street Fighter is probably the biggest talk of the town. Other talks of the town would probably be the Spider-Man Remastered. Does it already need to be remastered? But it will be released on PC. Whee! Congrats to all the PC people. Yay, you finally get to play it. Yeah, that's fine. I don't know. Like, for me, like, as a PlayStation guy, I look at that and I'm just like, okay, cool. What's the next one? Let's go. You know, so whatever.
For me, like, look, I have both, and I guess I would be an Xbox guy, but I fairly judge both. As an Xbox guy, like, I don't know. I don't know.
Wow, great thought.
I completely forgot what I was going
to
say.
All right, we'll think about it. We'll get back to it. So there's that, and obviously the other really big thing is we finally got to see some gameplay from the PSVR 2. Looking good. Obviously, it's gameplay. We need to see what it actually looks like through the goggles. But like, yeah, okay, that's fine. We got some good ones. Resident Evil Village will be in VR. Walking Dead Saints and Sinners Chapter 2 Retribution will be in VR. No Man's Sky will be on VR. And one that I looked at and I was like, man, this might make me buy a PSVR. And that is Horizon Call of the Mountain on VR. Now, this is... Yeah. I don't know because I play Horizon and it's an amazing game. It's so crazy, but that's what it is. It's crazy. There's always something going on. You're rolling. It is so to do it in VR. I'm like, is it going to be the same feel? I obviously it's not. So that I'm a little nervous about it, but at the same time, how cool would it be to see one of these giants just walking right past you or whatever. So I don't know. I'm excited about it. What about you guys? All these VR games that I just mentioned, obviously, you could talk about any of them. That's why we're here.
I think it's all sweet. Like PlayStation, I am not going to even think about buying a new PlayStation until VR is released. I mean, like even right now, like until I got Oculus, PlayStation was like my VR machine. Their first-party games are amazing. The graphics are better. Beat Saber playing from PlayStation to Oculus, I could tell the difference. So there's no doubt it's going to be amazing. That game, even though I don't play the other games, it looks amazing. I can imagine just that thing could be anything in the world. It could be a puppy, but something that big is... there's something that it does to me.
Yeah.
So I'm excited. Like VR is the biggest thing PlayStation's doing that excites me lately. I mean, for this whole leg of PlayStation 5, everything they've done has pretty much checked off markers why not to get, because I had reasons to get, and they just kept Miles Morales is coming out on PlayStation 4. You know, Spider-Man is, you know, going to be on the Avengers on PlayStation 4. VR is not available yet. If Xbox says anything in terms of you can now connect your Quest to the Xbox, which will pump up the graphics, Jack does it with his laptop, then I don't know, man, it's going to take some really good first persons, maybe when Blood and Truth 2 come out.
Oh, that'd be cool.
What I was going to say about Spider-Man and Remastered, this is a move that you just say, like, even me being an Xbox, the whole reason I said that is eventually I got a PlayStation 4 because it was cheap enough.
Yeah.
So by now, if a PC player can't afford to buy a PlayStation 4 and play Spider-Man, shame on them first. Second of all, that's sales that you assholes could be making instead of releasing the game on PlayStation 5. It's those little things that would mean like, hey, we can let the PlayStation 4 last a little bit longer because now people on PC will be able to buy them. We can keep exclusivity because we don't have to. You know what I'm saying? Now you don't have to. You don't have to break the whole, like one of the main things that Sony has is their game exclusivity. And yes, when it's in the same family, like Xbox and Windows on Xbox, it's still kind of, but it's not. It's not as exclusive. PlayStation doesn't have a launcher, so anything they put it on breaks that exclusivity. So to me, it diminishes what PlayStation has left. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Yeah, it sucked that I couldn't play Spider-Man when it came out because I didn't have a PlayStation 4. But fuck me, dude. I got a PlayStation 4 and played the shit out of that game. Like, there's games, fighting games. PlayStation 4, no doubt, my fighting games, I buy on PlayStation 4. PlayStation, I love the controller for fighting games. Like, the graphics, because it used to be the better machine, sure. I would always, you know, take advantage of that.
Yeah.
Or like every time you turn your head, they're like, oh, now this doesn't happen anymore. Oh, blah, blah, blah. This isn't happening.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I could see that. I could see that.
But yeah, I'm excited. Their VR is what excites me the most. I mean, they have every other VR company are honestly jealous of the publishers that are working on the titles for PlayStation.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. Mike?
Yeah, that's why I looked at like No Man's Sky. No Man's Sky, I think, is probably one of the coolest success stories of the last generation.
I agree.
Considering like where it started, and I think that having that on like VR2 with greater refinement, that game's going to be around for a while. I think that's one that makes me want to get into VR2. I was like Verlaine said, if there's any reason why I do get into like PS5, it will be for VR. Because most of their exclusives, I don't hate their exclusives, but they don't drive me to buy them.
It's because what Verlaine said, that you can play these games on the last console, so like why like get the new one? So like I can see what he's saying. It totally makes sense. It's too bad how sad. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah.
Other than VR, let's see. They finally gave us a date for Stray, because, you know, we're really can't wait to play as a cat, right? I don't understand.
Look, I gotta say something.
Well, hold on. Before you do, let me say this. It pisses me off that they've already shown this trailer. Okay, we already have seen this trailer, and then then they're like, oh, sorry, we're pushing it back, right? We're pushing it back. I don't know what it was, a couple months where they pushed it back, and now they almost introduce it like they've never shown it to us before on this state of play, and if you ask me, to fill time, because it was just like, really? Like, we've already seen this. Just tell us what the date is and move on. This is kind of like what we're looking at, but it will be released next month on the 19th. So July 19th. Yeah.
So there's a game called, oh my God, it's the monkey game. The game where you're a monkey, maybe evolution, something. You're a monkey, and okay. It's about evolution.
Monkey ball?
You start as a little monkey, and you have to survive in the jungle and jump through trees and stuff. And like the videos were on Facebook, and it looks so sweet. It's like, oh, you're a monkey, and you're going to evolve, and you have to like get away from tigers and shit in the jungle and swinging. The game flopped. Like, you heard nothing about it, because I think people are like, oh, why am I really going to be an animal? Like, I get it. Sometimes you want to. But like, if you're talking about a fucking in-depth next-gen game, you're going to be a cat. Awesome. But like, really, you're going to hit a point where it's like, oh, I get it. I understand now why we are a superior being, because you can only do so much as a cat. I don't know. I have something about animal games. I just think that they're just not, they don't, I don't know.
Yeah.
This game is just, I think it's deliberately preying off of people who love cats.
Like, oh my God,
people who love cats are going to buy it.
And don't get me wrong. I mean, even Mike can attest to this. Like, we have cats. We love our cats. I'm just not excited to play a video game as a cat. I don't know.
You could reskin the cat as a person, and it would just, like, unless
just
you're,
as good.
Unless you're like eating rats and going around like going through garbage and like humping other cats, like, why play it? It could be any other animal. You're not going to get your cat fixed. Yeah. Walking around destroying someone's apartment, shitting everywhere, that might be fun.
You could do that as a human, to be fair.
Running around solving puzzles to get to whatever the fuck ball of yarn you're looking for, yeah. Like, come on, man.
That's fair.
But it might be a cool game. Might be a cool game, because Lion King was cool.
Well, that's fair. That's fair. That was one of my. It's one of my top.
Yeah.
Top three.
You might have to play this game.
Ah, I hate you. No, I'll wait for this one to be free. I think that's kind of where I'm at. Yeah.
Yeah. It's gonna hit a live service thing. So it doesn't have that like over the top like in your face thing that like Maneater heads.
Yeah.
Had going for
if,
it.
If you live in an area where stray cats exist, you will not like stray cats. You look at this game and be like, why not just call it cockroach? How about I just fucking be cockroach? Or goose shit on my sidewalk.
Yeah, well, I love the stray cats. I mean, Brian Seltzer is one of the best guitarists who's ever lived. So...
Hey.
Yeah. All right. On that note, and then another one, the Callisto Protocol. To me, this is kind of like a Last of Us regurgitation. I don't know.
Yeah, crossed with like Dead Space or something.
Yeah, yeah. It's like it looks creepy and looks good. I guess I don't know. I got to see more about that. Other than that, I don't know. Is there anyone?
That roller drone one. It looked so stupid.
I don't know, man. That I don't know what PlayStation is thinking. I mean, that's fine. Whatever. Release the game.
Yeah, like this, it's this like nostalgia for the 80s again. It's like, hey, what if we combine roller games with Running Man? And
yeah, you're right. It's like, pretty much what it is. Yeah, and I'm like,
I love cel shading. That roller drum looks like it was pulled right out of like 2009.
It reminds me of remember the old Aeon Flux cartoon on MTV? Anyone? Yeah, yeah.
That's what
it kind of reminds me of, like that, you know. Liquid television. Yes, exactly. Remember the head? Remember the Max? Oh, I can go on and on. Oh, anyway.
Astounding Max
and Butthead.
Beavis and Butthead, of course. Yeah.
The Brothers Grimm.
The Brothers Grimm.
The Brothers Grunt. That's
oh yeah. The Brothers Grimm was a book, right, or whatever.
Yeah.
Anyway, I don't read. And then I'd say the last thing to even mention is Final Fantasy XV 16. I always have to do the Roman numeral. Yeah, whatever. I am not a Final Fantasy guy at all. I don't plan to ever be. So if you are into this, congratulations. This is awesome for you. I'm so happy for you.
I was all right with the series for like a long time, but I tapered off about a decade ago and hasn't really been the same since.
Yeah.
Like 15 broke me.
It only took 15 of them to do it.
Only one lesson there.
I know, right? It was you mean the last one broke you?
This one you could end up playing.
I know.
Because this is actually where I got a little bit fucked up. I kind of cut the series loose after like 13. I initially didn't play 13 when it came out because that's when I wasn't playing games. And then like a GameStop employee gave me his copy for free because he hated it. I played it. I like rage quit the game twice, and I thought, wow, Final Fantasy has nothing to say anymore. This series is no longer unique. It's now just a brand name that they're just going to milk forever and ever at the end of time because people love their summons and they love their big yellow stupid birds. And now they're making the games where you can either ride the big yellow stupid bird, you can ride a sleek Rolls Royce. Gee, which one am I going to ride?
The bird, obviously.
Yeah,
is that that's not what you
people
meant.
People want it.
That's what they want. That's what they want. And that's what they're gonna get. So yeah. Summer of 2023 is when that comes out. Congrats.
Why are they working and making so that they I mean, I know companies have like other like separate teams working on games, but they have someone working on Final Fantasy VII that's having issues itself. Yet they're still like, let's just fucking still push this one out, which they don't obviously give a fuck whether it's good or bad. It does not matter what the fuck we say. It doesn't, because the next one's coming out after that and half of us are going to like it. And then the other half that don't like it first are going to like it because everybody else stopped liking it.
Right.
So it's just going to be a cycle. But then you really have this thing like, look, for me, it was Final Fantasy VII, and I was intrigued by the reboot. Have I played it? No, because what unintrigued me was the episodic versions that they put out, which to me just shows they're not dedicated and devoted to it, and they're like kind of still iffy on whether it'll be a success. Why not just make the whole game and put it out and make all the fucking money?
Yeah.
So like that's why I haven't played it, but it still looks sweet. The fact that it was so different, yet so the same, like I was on board, man.
Yeah,
more than any new one that would have come out, because like Final Fantasy VII is what put Final Fantasy on the fucking map. Like no matter what, well, there's old ones, but look, even you, Mike, weren't playing the old ones when they were around when they first came out. No one was, barely anybody was.
No.
I mean over here.
Over here.
Like six or three over here when it first came out, it was three. Like it was like. Kind of like people liked it on the Super Nintendo, but it wasn't the phenomenon that Seven.
Right, yeah, Seven broke the graphical barrier and showed like it just showed it in a whole new light. It was just so much more epic with the graphics that the PlayStation had. So that's why it hit home for me. But then again, I mean, I played it to the end, and then the next one came out, and I was like, oh, all right, I'm done. Same thing. It's gonna be the same thing. Right. Now it's gonna be those graphics. Up until the freeform, like the open world one, which is kind of interesting, but then it's like, who gives a shit?
There's
other games I play.
All right, we got to move on. We're running a little low on time, but I do want to answer this question from Jimmy. He says, "What are your thoughts on fighting like Shifu, DOA, Soul Calibur, and its fighting mechanics?" For me, I would say out of those three, Soul Calibur is my fave. I think for some reason I kind of can relate to it. I feel good. The mechanics feel good to me. What about you guys?
Yeah, I like Sifu is interesting. It's like very like counter base based. It's like counter attack based. So you have to learn how to get good at playing defense instead of trying to like mow through characters. Dead or Alive, I always thought Dead or Alive would be that like spiritual successor to Virtual Fighter, which after a while developed the reputation of being the old man's fighting game because it's very slow and technical and methodical. And then DOA 6 completely flopped. So I'm gonna have to agree with you. Like Soul Calibur, like completely nailed like 3D fighting. It's like eight-way run mechanic. It works perfectly. I've got to get back into the Soul Calibur 6, but yeah, Soul Calibur, it's like really great. DOA.
Welcome back to the stage of history.
Yeah.
That's that what you're looking for?
Beautiful.
I have the newest one. I played it like once with The Witcher in it.
Yeah. I love the way Geralt plays.
What's up, Dagon? Thanks for joining us, brother.
I don't know. I like it. I mean, I like the fighting style. Like I kind of loved Street Fighter EX. Because it was like, for me, a great blend, because for me, I took very much advantage of sidestepping. And in Tekken, I took advantage of sidestepping where I would do the sidestepping combos, and a lot of my primary attacks on people would be through sidestepping, because people just that I played wouldn't get it. They couldn't really grasp it. So I capitalized, and even to this day, like I can play those games and I can feel just as comfortable as when I play Mortal Kombat. And I mean, another reason is because when I started getting into Fatal Fury, they incorporated, you know, going in back and forth into the screen.
Yes.
And then they incorporated attacking back and forth into the foreground and background, which was another thing that a lot of people just by chance that when I played them in the arcade, they never really took advantage of that and they never saw it coming.
Yeah.
So I enjoy it. And it's done right. Like that, whoever, you know, Virtual Fighter might've been the first to like, just get it to where you have the 3D, but you're not moving around like all those jump games, like the Naruto games and shit, where, what do you call them? Like the spherical fighters or whatever.
Yeah.
Arena fighters.
Yeah. The arena fighters. It's not as, you know, well, we all know we fucking play the game. So the fact that like they pulled that off, it's great. And I like it just as much. Yeah. As 2D fighting, like for sure. They both have their ups and downs. And I mean, it's even getting to a point where you're playing games like Mortal Kombat and you almost don't even realize it's a 2D fighter because of the graphics
2D.
And because of the animations that go into every combo. I mean, yeah. It's they do that so well that it is like, it's not like you're playing and you're like, oh, this is so fucking stiff, because they make it feel like better, you know, like yeah. Being able to switch stances and shit.
Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. So let's get to the next thing. We'll stay with fighting real quick. Multiverses. I think I speak for all of us that we're kind of excited for this, right? So this leak suggests that Scorpion from Mortal Kombat may be in it, as well as Ted Lasso might be a part of this roster. Real quick, it's from it's a show. It's a it's called Ted Lasso. Yeah, it's a show about a coach that's a soccer. He's a soccer coach. It's actually really, really funny. Well, anyway. Yeah, it's
Like Jason Sudeikis in it or something.
Yes, yeah, he's like, Ted Lasso. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. That one seems kind of stupid. That one, for me, kind of reminds me of Shaggy. You know how he kept, oh, Shaggy's coming to Mortal Kombat. Well, obviously, that didn't happen. But he's in Multiverses, so at least we kind of have something like that. But now we can at least, if it does happen, we can have Scorpion go up against Shaggy. So, we'll actually get to see it if that's true. Ted Lasso, that sounds made up, but yeah, I don't know.
I think Scorpion will be true, and if not Scorpion, definitely somebody.
Yeah.
It's unfortunate that it would be Scorpion, Sub-Zero, or even Raiden. It should totally like be someone we've never seen.
I know. I agree.
I kind of wish. Someone we've never seen. Like, even Johnny fucking Cage would be great to see in another fucking...
Sonya Blade.
Sonya Blade. Sonya. Yeah, bring it. I'm in. So okay, so there's that leak. I don't know if how much merit is behind that, but whatever. We got to get to some free PlayStation games,
Man, I'm all out of cash.
So when you're all out of cash, you got some free games. Real quick for PlayStation Plus, these games come out the 7th, tomorrow. So yeah, so the games are Nickelodeon All-Star Brawl. Will Verlaine hook up his PlayStation 4 so he could play that? We will see. The next one is Naruto and Boruto Shinobi Striker. That sounds like a game that I won't download. And the last one is God of War. So pretty good lineup. if you haven't played God of War, I guess, you know.
The Shinobi Strikers was actually kind of fun. It's team. It's like 4v4 capture points, but you have ninja powers, and it was chaotic.
Yeah.
Yeah, I had fun with it. I played it briefly, and like I got a bit of a kick out of it. I'm not the biggest Naruto fan, but the games are pretty entertaining.
Yeah.
I feel the same way about the Dragon Ball games. Like, I fucking hate Dragon Ball. I hate it. But the games, like, I love playing.
They're so good. The games are sweet. All right. Well, if you want to read more about that, go on our website, gamefixshow.com. Okay, real quick, from @Wario64 on Twitter, saying, hearing that GameStop is no longer expecting Prince of Persia, The Sands of Time remake to release and are instructed to let people who pre-order it know it will not be arriving. The website also says it's unavailable and listings seem to be getting delisted.
Vaporware much?
Yeah. So that's done. Goodbye. Goodbye.
But here's the thing, though. Like, it's Prince of Persia. Now, outside of the one that we all love, the classic has been fucking done very, very many times, and they're very, very easygoing with the IP. I'm thinking it's going to be a collection. I'm thinking they're going to do it and put it in with other things, because it is super risky coming out with that game now, especially because of Assassin's Creed. Assassin's Creed. Yes. Because when Assassin's Creed came out, it was right after Prince of Persia, and it was pretty much like Prince of Persia.
Yeah.
Like the gameplay, like how things worked. So it comes down to like, even if you remaster and redo the game, like graphically, you need to do more, because we've seen the slow time. We've seen reverse. I mean, you fucking get any retro game now on a console and it has the reverse time feature. So you don't have to even fucking die.
Or bullet time. Yeah.
Exactly. So like, it's one of those things where I think it would be a safer bet if they released it, even if it's not a Prince of Persia, but why not? They have so many Prince of Persia games that they can like release.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean,
either way,
surprise me, but
yeah, either way, it's not coming out. Sweet. It was sweet. So good.
The second one was so awesome.
The movie was okay.
I never watched it.
Yeah, don't.
But the second one, when you would just be playing
Jake Gyllenhaal, right? That was Jake Gyllenhaal. Yeah.
The time demon would come, and then Godsmack. Running. Dude, I love that shit. That's cool. So good.
All right. We got to get to this before we get to Verlaine. What are you calling it? This is the Obi-Wan. What are you calling it? What are you calling it?
Hello there.
No, the other one. I told
Obi-Wan,
you that.
That's what I'm saying. Obi-Wan final thought.
Hello there.
Okay. Yeah, we'll get to that at the end. Don't worry. We're getting there. Something I do want to talk about real quick is a Pokemon game, but not a Pokemon game. If you guys haven't seen this trailer yet, it's called Pal World, PALWORLD, and it's one word. I don't know. I'm a little confused by that. It's pretty much it's Pokemon meets Call of Duty. I don't know. If you're watching live, you can see some of the video. As you can see, automatic weapons, right, with kind of Pokemon-esque characters. Really weird, really, really strange. Not only that, but look, a Pokeball. Do you see?
You capture animals. Dude, this is like grown up Pokemon.
It's completely Pokemon. Like, I mean, but look, I love the line, like the sweatshop. They're making like automatic weapons. That's really what we need in this world. What is happening? Come on. Like, and when is this game going to get flagged? Unless it has something to do with Pokemon.
It's probably that you have to rescue those guys from being slave. How are they going to get fucking anything? Like, it's a ball. They're capturing animals. Like, they're all made up animals. Dude, Pokemon's issue is that they take animals that exist, a fucking fish, and make it something. Well, guess what, dude? I could take a fish and make it a different cartoon fish and put it, and there you go. You know what I'm saying? It's nothing, because it's like they're childish nothings. I think they have no case at all. It has nothing, but like the Pokeballs are a different color. They work differently. It looks like these dudes did their homework, and it looks like they're people. Like, my favorite Pokemon game was Pokemon Stadium, because there was no children involved. It was just the fucking Pokemon. And then Pokemon in itself is kind of a very violent idea.
if you implement that in the real world, if every animal was a Pokemon, you can just take them, capture them at will, and then fight them against each other. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, that's pretty violent, and that's kind of cool. That kind of, like, I'm super excited to see these two worlds collide. And I'm one that's like, you know, you throw anything stupid into realistic and I'm like, fucking fuck that.
It looks like
something I would do.
It feels like Breath of the Wild and you just hand Link an automatic weapon, right? Like, here's an AR, have fun.
The graphics kind of don't go.
No, they don't.
Of like, I don't know. It kind of like the gameplay of the automatic weapons looks like it does go. Look, so the background matches the weapons, but the characters don't match the world.
Right.
Yeah, it looks like they were pulled out of like Fortnite or something.
So, yeah.
I'm on board, dude. This game looks sweet. Especially if you can actually have an open world and you can actually go capture whatever animal you want on your army and go fight other people. Like,
but they're so cute. Yeah, why do you want to shoot them?
You can fight other people and then take theirs. So then you can end up like with rare shit. Like it'd be like Pokemon that should be like, you could trade actual things in game. It would give, dude, it could give so much purpose to so many features that we don't see.
Yeah.
You don't need to buy loot boxes. Just find somebody, fight them for their fucking shit. Hey, I want that. Let's fight for it.
Yeah. I don't know. Good luck to them. I hope it does well for them. I hope it does. If you want to actually see a real Pokemon crossover, Gina wrote about it on her website, gamefixshow.com. It's about Pokemon cards. It's like the card game, you know, the collecting game. I say that because I don't collect Pokemon cards. I don't know. Do you guys? No, you don't do that, right?
Not anymore.
Not anymore.
Yeah. Not any ever.
Yeah. I was real spent like when they brought out that one deck from last year.
I have a box of the
Mike
Fleer Marvel cards.
Yeah, that doesn't do anything for me either. I don't care. Wait. How much is it worth? That might do something for me.
Probably nothing.
Well then no, I'm good. I'm out. In that case, I'm out. All right. Real quick, we got, before we get into Obi-Wan, I don't know if you guys realize, but it's going to kind of sneak up on us here.
Christmas.
Ms. Marvel is streaming Wednesdays. Starting this Wednesday.
Stupid.
Starting this Wednesday.
Boo-hoo.
And we will be watching that. And we will also be watching Obi-Wan. Yes, we will, Verlaine. So.
Are we going to review them on like the same night?
We only do it one night a week. So guess what? We're going to be reviewing both of them. So just. I just want to fair warning. Wednesday is the release of the first episode, at least, of Ms. Marvel.
Elastigirl. Oh, Ms. Marvel.
Which also, by the way, starring Angelina Bomani. Did I say that right? Angelina Bomani. Yeah, from Overwatch. You know, Symmetra. Yeah, she's but in the flesh, Angelina in the flesh. Which I interviewed her. She was awesome. She was really cool. Anyway, okay, so let's, Verlaine, what are we getting to again?
The Obi-Wan last thought.
Hello there.
All right, let's do it. So we didn't talk about it last week because we had a special episode where we actually talked about our favorite game. So if you wanted to listen to that, please go back and take a listen. It was actually a really fun show. You should definitely hear all three of our top three games. So, I gave my top three, but like gave his top three and Mike gave his top three. So please go check that out, where you can download episodes. So, okay. So Obi-Wan,
hello there.
So we got three episodes here to kind of unpack. And I think the most glaring, obvious thing about this show is that it is kind of a mess. I don't know. Is it just me, or does it kind of make the future of Star Wars not make any sense? No. Obi-Wan, you're my only hope.
No? No, it's not.
You were literally saying that it was when we were watching it. Now it's not?
Saying
I was setting you up so you can agree with me
that it's a mess.
Is it not a mess? Okay, all right, well, go ahead. Why is it not a mess?
I mean, I think that they, what's perfect about it is that we have the time, that it's a direct sequel. Like,
things that, like, I wish you remembered what it was, because, like, yeah, there was, so the first two episodes, like, if you wanted to go for the first two episodes and pretend the third one didn't come out yet, then I'd be like, yeah, I don't know what the fuck they're doing, because, first of all, Obi-Wan's being an asshole. Like, there's no fucking way. No, like, it doesn't make sense.
You mean Ben?
Yeah, Ben's being a dick. Ben. To the point where he's, like, scared out of his fucking mind, but he's one of the best Jedis. So that was kind of unsettling. It was unsettling, like, when you see Luke tell Grogu, pick the saber or the fucking vest. Like, tough shit. Like, this is your choice. It was like that. It's like Owen is about to get shot and killed, and Obi-Wan's like, I'm not going to say anything. I'm just going to let him.
Yeah.
Fucking seriously.
Because he didn't want to kill himself. Because he knew he'd probably be dead.
But see, like, I can understand if it was like there was some sort of like, oh, I need to carry on the Jedi legacy. But he just was – that was selfish. He did not want to die. That's it.
Yep.
But then there's the whole Ben thing where Ben is actually being a dick to – I mean, Owen is being a dick to Obi-Wan because – Obi-Wan wants to see Luke and he's like, get the fuck away. But dude, he gave him to fucking Owen.
Right.
He said he trusted Owen enough to be like, here, I need you to watch this kid. Not even your kid. I don't even do. Is he even related to anybody? Is it like somebody? I don't even know who Owen is in relation to everybody. But either way, Ben gave him that. And then for him to be like, you're never going to see. I don't want you to see him anymore.
Well, we know that's not true. We know that's not true.
Like shit. So that was kind of like fucking screwy.
Yeah.
Like seeing how they were portraying Obi-Wan.
The one part that I was like really like what? When he first was trying to kind of like when he was traveling, okay? So he was trying to be like incognito, right? Like he didn't want anybody to know that he was a Jedi and whatever, right? So what does he do? He puts a hood on like a Jedi.
Yeah, he dresses in the robes.
I was like, what? That's exactly what a Jedi would look like. What are you doing, man? Like, I don't know. Not only is he selfish, but he's kind of stupid. I don't know. Like, that's what I'm getting. Mike, what are you saying?
I thought that it was a role that he was playing, but he really is like borderline incompetent. Like,
yeah.
Did he forget how like awesome he was? Or there wasn't anything that led to that. I mean, probably not until like episode 3, but you know, like up until then, he's like halfway bungling his plans. He doesn't really want to do anything. He has to be practically badgered into it by Jimmy Smith, who hasn't aged.
Yeah, that's weird, right?
It kind of made me think a little bit of like Indiana Jones Kingdom of the Crystal Skull.
What a terrible
where movie. We're seeing this guy who's like technically outclassed just find a way to clumsily outsmart everybody around him. And it started to feel a touch hokey after a while.
Yeah. And of course, you know, we don't want another show about babysitting, right? Like, that is one thing that we do not want. Obviously, Grogu was kind of an anomaly. That was okay, right? Because Mandalorian was still kicking ass and all that. But, like, you know, like, he's got to watch Leia. Obviously, after episode 3, we know that he no longer has Leia with him. So he's got to figure this out. But, like, I don't know. There's some parts about this that I'm like, okay, it's cool. Obviously, we finally have a Star Wars show about the Force, about lightsabers, and of course, about one of the biggest characters in Star Wars, Darth fucking Vader, and we finally get a glimpse of him in episode 3. Of course, what was it, episode 2 when he found out that Anakin is still alive, right? Of course. Talk about the Inquisitors.
Was saying was kind of like messed up. Is that like between the 10 years that Obi-Wan decimated the strongest fucking Sith, Order 66 was around, but like Obi-Wan was, you know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know, whatever. Then all of a sudden we have Inquisitors that are supposedly Jedi that decided to go bad, except Order 66 does not say, hey, ask them if they want to join first. It doesn't say that. So that's what fucking fucks with me.
Jack, I don't know if that is also explained, but if these people are expecting us to watch the Clone Wars to get some of these pieces, it's going to fucking piss me off.
Yeah, no thanks, because dude. It's never going to happen. I'm never going to watch
keep
that.
Keep the Clone Wars canon, but I'm not going to watch a bunch of fucking cartoons that when it started had no idea it was going to lead to all this.
Yeah.
And then they do the Bad Batch. Look. You could do that. Like with The Mandalorian, throw in a fucking character from those cartoons, but don't fucking make part of the entire lore taken from the cartoon, because that's stupid.
Yeah.
So anyways, yeah. So like that kind of confuses me how those guys in just 10 years are like this thing.
Yeah.
It's not even like it should be like new and like it's this thing. It annoys me that she's the only person, the only Sith outside of the Emperor who walks around fucking no mask or makeup. Like, why? Are they trying to capitalize on strong woman lead? We get it. Like, you've had that in the Battlefront 2 game. The last fucking Jedi movies were fucking all about that. Like, put a mask on her, dude. You're taking me out. It has nothing to do with the woman. It's like, You don't fear someone who looks like a human. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
there's scarier aliens out there.
You fear someone that looks almost like a robot, right? Like Darth Vader.
Right, that's why they do it. They want to instill fear, and they don't want you to see their humanity. Yeah. So, like, that bothers me.
I mean, then again, we did see Kylo Ren's face eventually, but...
You always see their faces eventually. Well, yeah. Most of them, like, even Darth Maul, but Darth Maul has makeup as his tribe is, so it's not, like, straight up. Hi, Ben. But outside of that, dude, Ben.
What's up with Ben? Come on. All right.
And Ben.
Ben.
So up until that, I was like, I'm okay. And Leia's droid was kind of stupid and cheesy. Just Leia being in it.
I also wanted to say they released the character, at least we got to see the character of the new Obi-Wan character, right? And in the box is that droid, but it's not even his droid. Like, why would they put that in his box? But which leads me to believe that he's going to use it at some point, right? Like, that's what I'm getting out of that.
Maybe.
It's an accessory to market.
Yeah, and that's it's like BD-1 with Cal Kestis, which, by the way, I would love to see Cal Kestis in this. That would be very awesome, because you know that because as far as video games go, they just kind of introduced him in Squadrons, right? Or was it
what? No, in The Mandalorian they had the
no. It's a DLC.
Game Squadrons?
Either Squadrons or
Fallen Order.
Fallen Order. I think maybe, was it.
Okay.
That is his game.
No, that's not. Oh God, you guys are idiots. All right.
I don't know. I would have thought that I would have heard anything DLC with Cal Kestis being in another Star Wars game. Like, yeah. I would have been all on it.
Right.
So I mean. And then saying Fallen Order, well, that's the game he's in.
Maybe I'm an idiot. All right, that's fair.
Well, BD-1 is in there, so that kind of like made it canon. And then you have Order 66, and like the whole game is canon with the movies. So yes, we could see him as like whatever. It's only he would actually be like 20 something maybe.
Yeah.
I
would love to see it. That's all I'm saying.
I want to see if fucking we're gonna see Yoda. Like, why wouldn't we see Yoda at some point? But I mean, this could be just one of those things that's just, we only have 3 episodes left.
Yeah, I know. They got to wrap it up. But they usually, you know, by the last 2 episodes, they always give us that, you know, like stuff that we wouldn't like expect to see. So it could happen, I guess.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. So Vader.
Hooks to get you to tune in next time.
So. Yeah, right. Episode 3, Vader versus Obi-Wan, go.
Vader's too OP right
yes.
now. Like, look, so yeah. It was good that they kept the Rogue One thing. So this made it fit because, you know, Rogue One, he was way OP. And then it's like, I don't know, because everybody's like, hey, he didn't do much in the fucking... So I thought that was kind of cool. I don't understand why Obi-Wan is so scared.
Because he hasn't used the Force in like 10 years or 5 years or whatever it is. So I'm guessing he's just timid because he's not...
Yeah.
You know, he hasn't been practicing. You know, he hasn't really used it. He has actually been avoiding using. Obviously, you see him like working and just being
he
a normal.
He turned it on a couple times and didn't.
Yeah.
And then he turns it on at the dumbest time, like when nothing's going on.
Yeah.
Like you would at least think he'd see Vader and then turn it on.
but he's like behind boxes hiding, and then he's like,
I like everyone, you could see it, like we could see where you are, you dumbass, you know.
Right,
of course, you know, we got to really see him use the Force when he saved Leia from dying again, by the way.
Which, look, so
or for the first dad, time
what's, no for what's his name
second time
twice
Leia's,
the quote unquote dad, that guy.
Yeah, I don't know.
He's been Jimmy that Smith's. Role. He's been that role, you know, through all the movies, right, just like the Emperor has always been one Emperor. But that guy has also been in that role in The Force Unleashed.
Right.
And if you play The Force Unleashed, although they say it's not canon, there's so many things about it that are still in the universe. And in The Force Unleashed, the very end, when you pick the good ending, him and Leia and a bunch of other people and you, Starkiller, are at this big table on some fucking planet hidden, and you officially start the rebellion. That's how it starts. Is Starkiller?
That's the one that they're that's the one that they're redoing, right?
Oh, no! If they were redoing that, I'd eat my own semen.
All right.
What? Like, all right. Well, you heard it here first. I'm going to make sure that happens so we can get that on film. Yes.
Patreon.
That's gross.
That is Patreon all the way. Yeah.
So this is
Jack says. Jack says Starkiller is in the Fallen Order trailer.
Is in the new Jedi, whatever it's called.
What do you say?
I don't know. I'll look.
That's what the man said. That's what the man said.
That's my favorite Star Wars story. It was the best thing that fit into the world because it was hidden. And Vader, like, and that's something that could still to this day be in this story. Like, people thought that they were going that way when they showed all the clones. All the in the bodies of the last movie, and then they thought that when they saw Dark Rey, that Rey was actually a clone, and they were going to do the whole Starkiller story, but it was Rey who was the Starkiller.
Gotcha.
But yeah, dude, I don't know. It's I'm glad that they put Vader right away. They didn't fuck with us.
They didn't
wait until the last episode. Because Luke, we were like, who's going to come? There's going to be a Jedi. We don't know. Like. They fucking did it. They put him in his face. Like, we know how strong he is. He's pissed. He's fucked.
He's fucked.
Emperor. We need to see the Emperor. We need to see Yoda.
Yeah, yeah.
And we need to see what happens, because...
And Mace Windu. Motherfucker. Mace,
Darth Maul can come back. I mean, Darth Maul is alive.
Yeah, he would be alive. Yeah,
yeah, that's... Yeah. Oh, the Knights of the Old Republic. That's the one they're remaking.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
yeah.
All right. All right. I think we could wrap it up right there.
Hello there.
Mm-hmm. So thank you so much for joining us. You guys, anything else you want to say before we say goodbye to everybody? Because that's where we are. We're at the end. We're at the end of the show.
They're finally adding the voice actors to the Nickelodeon All-Star Brawl. So if you wanted to hear SpongeBob in the game, and it's going to be free on PS4. Oh, God.
Who's better? Who did it better in the chat room last night? Who did it better? Anyway, you know, thank you so much, everyone that joined us. We kind of had a full group in the, so we do very, very much appreciate that. Obviously, a big shout out again to everybody that we met over in Pittsburgh at Three Rivers Comic Con. Yes. Oh, Jimmy is voting for you, Mike. There he is.
Oh,
so
thank you.
We got at least one. I guess that's the deciding vote. That's fair. Thank you for saying hello to us. We're glad to meet everybody out there. It was awesome. We had a heck of a time. Verlaine, I wish you were there. It was a good time. It's okay, next time. It's okay. Me and Verlaine will actually be in 2 weeks, right? Two weekends at Toy-Hio in Girard. So if you're out there, Jack said Mike as well. So, okay, then it's unanimous at least. Or you got, two versus 0-0. So look for us out there. We're going to be selling our wares as well as our bodies. Oh, you didn't know. You didn't know. All right. So I guess there's one thing left to say, and that's it's your world. Pay attention.
Oh, shit. Here we go again.
I love you.
Go hero.
else, turd nuggets?
Hello, and welcome to Novel Conversations, a podcast about the world's greatest stories. I'm your host, Frank Lavallo, and for each episode of Novel Conversations, I talk to two readers about one book. And together, we summarize the story for you. We introduce you to the characters, we tell you what happens to them, and we read from the book along the way. So if you love hearing a good story, you're in the right place. Our ninth season is coming this fall. Tune in to hear from some of the all-time great authors, Charles Dickens, Jules Verne, F. Scott Fitzgerald, and more. Subscribe to Novel Conversations wherever you listen to podcasts.